something we all talk about this a little bit, but there's never been a talk on reincarnation, as far as I know, in the history of the Spiritual Light Center. And it just kind of blew me away when I thought about that. But we talk about it, but we don't come up here and talk about it. So I thought that's what I do today, just make it kind of interesting. It's reincarnation, really. It's something that is common to my knowledge of all the major religions of the world. Now, Eastern religions, it's up front. Are there any Eastern religions that you know of that don't believe in reincarnation? I can't think of one. But Western world, that's different, right? However, if you get down to it, every one of the Western traditions has an aspect of within it, a kernel of belief in reincarnation that I want to talk about just a little bit today. It's surprising that there was a 2021 Pew Research Center study done that showed that 1/3 of Americans believe in reincarnation. And I thought that was interesting because the religions don't talk about it a whole lot, so they must be believing that, kind of slipping that around there, or maybe they don't have a specific religion. Well, but that's 1/3 of Americans. So I thought that was kind of fascinating. Most Christians, most Muslims and Jews, it would be Christians and Muslims believe in reincarnation. I mean, I just said that, didn't I? I didn't say it. Scratch that out. I didn't say it. That they believe in resurrection rather than reincarnation. And their belief is that their resurrected body will forever inhabit a permanent afterworld where they will meet their loved ones that have passed on before them. That's just the general belief. However, reincarnation is another widely held belief about eternal life, which is common to the mystics of the world, of the Western religions. And now this is something that I find rather interesting. In all of the Western religions, there is a general belief that everybody holds to. That's just what's talked about at the pulpit or whatever. But then within every one of the Western religions, there's a kernel within it that are more of the mystics within that religion. And those are the ones who believe in reincarnation in all of the Western religions. The things I read at the Elbows called it two-tiered, that the Western religions were two-tiered. That was the most common tier were the people that believed in resurrection. But then there was that other tier in every one of them, which were the more mystical of the groups, and they were the ones that held to reincarnation. I thought that was fascinating. Let's just go do them in order. Of the Western religions in chronological order. Judaism would be the first. And in modern times, matters of eternal life were considered mainly only by the mystically inclined Kabbalists. And they believed in reincarnation within Judaism. If you asked a modern American Jew or rabbi, most commonly, they would reject the idea of reincarnation and very possibly not want to deal with the issue of afterlife either. But the Kabbalah, which is considered to be the hidden teachings of Moses, that's at the heart of Jewish mysticism. And it goes back as far as ancient Egypt. And at the very heart of the Kabbalah is a belief in reincarnation. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say the Hasidic Jews, who they are. You're always in solid black, you know, black hat, curl, hang down. Or super Orthodox, yeah. They believe in reincarnation. Today, I would say that at least what I understand, is Jewish rabbis mainly consider practical earthly matters. If you talk to them, that's what you're going to talk about. Issues like morality, ritual, that kind of thing. That's what the rabbis are going to talk about. Matters concerning afterlife or the nature of God are pretty much been relegated to the exclusive domain of Kabbalah, of the Jewish mystics. Recently, there's been, as what I've read, is a surge of interest in the Jewish Kabbalah. And I'm kind of hoping that that continues, because that seems to be where the interesting chunk of Judaism is. So let's take a moment and look at then reincarnation in Christianity. Now, how many of you would say that reincarnation is part of Christianity? How would, okay, kind of?
The soul.
Okay.
The soul. Also, when Jesus comes back, everyone will rise.
There you go. Okay. Now, normally, from going into your average church, you're not going to expect them to be talking about reincarnation. Not going to happen. However, if you look closely at the early history of Christianity, we discover that lots of early Christians definitely believed in reincarnation, including some really prominent figures within early Christianity. We know that at least half a dozen or so of the early church fathers believed in it and openly spoke about it, like remember, we're talking about the early church fathers way back. Clement, Origen, Justin Martyr, St. Gregory the Great, St. Jerome, all of them talked about reincarnation very openly. Now, why is that some of these early folks would have believed in reincarnation, whereas the latter chunk of Christians wouldn't have? And we're going to get to which ones those are. Very interesting. Yes. It's obvious when you look at the Bible. You look at passages in the Bible, some of them will just flat knock you over. Crystal clear. It was obvious that the people who were writing those passages believed in reincarnation. Like, particularly, just look at one of them, which is Matthew 16 verses 13 and 14. And it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they replied, well, some say that you are John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's pretty obvious, okay, that Jesus' disciples believed in reincarnation, or they would never have suggested that Jesus was one of the prophets who was raised from the dead, reincarnated. And if you read that passage, Jesus doesn't respond at all. He doesn't go, what are you talking about? Nothing. It was as if it was the most common thing in the world and just went on to the next passage. Okay? Early Christianity included some esoteric sects that's a hard word for me to say, right? They were known as the Gnostics. And Gnostics were firm believers in reincarnation. and other traditions that were incorporated into Christianity, which believed in reincarnation, and which kind of stirred the pot in creating what Christianity was at the very beginning, came from the teachings of Mithras and Dionysus, which I think is what you might have been referring to. What? Yeah. Now, they were, reincarnation formed an important part of Christian belief during its early formative stages. Okay? It was a common part of Christianity. Pretty much, if you were a Christian in the 300s, you would have believed in reincarnation. No questions asked. It was just part of the culture. But in many, so if that's the case, then what's the blatant, obvious question? What happened to it? Where'd it go? You know? They didn't like it. The bottom line, it says, we discovered there was a specific date and a specific time where it got cut out. And that was in the Second Church Council of Constantinople in the year 553. Up until that time, reincarnation was a common aspect of Christianity. But the fact is that the Roman Empire didn't like the idea for Christians to believe in reincarnation. And there was, in that specific meeting in 553, at the instigation of the Roman Emperor Justinian, not only where and when, but who, decided to get rid of it. And their idea was that if people believed in multiple lives, they'd get lazy about their spirituality. And so let's cut it down to one life so they have to get, you know, get diligent. Well, a little bit, just a tiny, teeny little bit. Yeah, I think so. So Justinian supposedly said at that meeting, give them one life and then give them heaven or hell. And the Pope at the time, see, now you got to remember, the church wasn't running anything at that point. The Roman Empire had taken over. So it was the emperors that were telling the church what to believe. So, when at that meeting, when Pope Vigilius stands up and says, we're getting rid of reincarnation, give them one life and then give them heaven or hell, the Pope at the time, Vigilius, was infuriated. He was like, how dare they? This is the doctrine of the church. This is something we believe since as far back as we can, you know, forever. And he gets up, there's supposed to be a vote. But the Holy Roman Emperor had decided to stack the deck with bishops that they had control of that would vote against reincarnation. Don't you think? Does it ever change? Does it ever change? So the Pope, knowing that it was a done deal, so forget the vote, he just got up and stomped out of the meeting. And that was the end of reincarnation in Christianity. But who cares? Jesus believed in it. I'm certain he did. Although there's nothing in the Bible that says yay or nay, when issues when the topic comes up, Jesus never has anything. He doesn't respond. It's as if it was a common belief, which it was. So there you go. As a direct result of that political manipulation, reincarnation was banished from Orthodox Christianity. And so when Christians today say reincarnation is unchristian, I would hope that you would point out that they are echoing the sentiments of a Roman emperor whose main interest in religion was to be a tool of political control. The truth is that before that, before it was made a heresy, nearly all Christians believed in it. Okay, so much on Christianity. Now, what would be the next religion in chronological order? Big one. Islam. So the Muslims, who, again, the same thing, the two-tier, always the same in Western religions, every one of them. Muslims who belong to some of the more spiritual sects of Islam do believe in reincarnation. It's interesting that the Arabic word for reincarnation comes from the word shirt. Why? Because it's something that you can just change instantly and immediately and repeatedly. So that's where the word reincarnation comes from in Islam. However, the vast majority of Muslims today, just like in Christianity and throughout the history of Islam, they believed in resurrection just after a single life. The most widely accepted version of the afterlife in Islam is that after you die, you're interviewed by an angel in your grave. And depending upon the answers that you give, then you're assigned to a temporary state of heaven or hell. And at the end of time, you are resurrected with the body that you had in your previous life. And in that body, you are assessed by Allah according to your deeds. And depending on the verdict that you get at that point, then you are sent to an eternal paradise or eternal hell. Just a little twist, you know, but not much. So the Quran doesn't ever say one way or another whether it supports resurrection or whether it supports reincarnation. Actually, both topics are mentioned in the Quran, but it doesn't ever land on one or the other, which one it recommends. But today, there are several sects within Islam that do believe in reincarnation. And the ones I could find were the Druze, D-R-U-Z-E, the Ismaili, the Alawis, Alevis, Yazidis, and various Sufi groups. Even though most Muslims don't believe in reincarnation, at Islam's mystical heart, there is a firm belief in it, just like with Judaism and Christianity. And rather digging really deeply into Eastern religions, mainly Buddhism and Hinduism, I just want to gloss over it a little bit because they all believe in reincarnation. There is an interesting little thing, however, that there is a major ongoing question and a big debate within those religions as to what actually is reincarnating. They all believe in reincarnation, but the question they have is, what is it that's reincarnating? And that's an interesting kind of concept. The two options are, is it Atman, which is the soul of an individual person? Is that what is reincarnating? Or is it Brahman, which is the ultimate term for God within Hinduism? Is it, now, some of the people within Buddhism and Hinduism don't believe in an individual soul. So there you run into a problem of saying that it is the individual soul that is reincarnating because they don't believe in it. Some say there is an individual soul and that each one of these souls, thousands of them, are reincarnating one after another, just like I would think in my head is the way it is. But then there's those that say there is no individual soul. So, but particularly in Buddhism, you'll run across that. There is no individual soul, no Atman. What's the word for that? Sounds like no Atman or non-Atman. I can't remember it's sort of close to that, but I'm not really sure what it is. And they would say, okay, if there's not an individual soul, they would still believe in reincarnation, because otherwise, how are you going to achieve the ultimate perfection? They believe that is the process of reincarnation is the means by which that is gained. So how is that done if there's not an individual soul? And they would say, well, it is Brahman who is reincarnating within each person. It is God, him or herself, that is reincarnating, not the individual soul. Now, I lost my place because I wasn't looking at it. Oh, well. Can I wait till the end of it?
Wait till the end.
How quick can it be? Then you just got that. I can't answer that for anybody. There's no way I can. It's not in my talk. It's nowhere in there. You have to decide what you believe in. And if you don't believe in an individual soul, then you would look at it and say, how would reincarnation occur if there is no individual soul? And some Buddhists have said, well, it's God itself within each person. And that makes sense to me. So that's an option. I'm just sure that somewhere in some room, somewhere in the East, there are people still arguing about that. Whether or not, what is it? Is it the soul? Is it Atman? Or is it Brahman? Well, they're all like, It's kind of like somewhere in some place here in the States, they're arguing about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. It's both. Why not? I mean, why couldn't our individual soul be in absolute union with the divine, and that is what is reincarnating within each person each time? That's another option. So you got to figure it out for yourself. So basically, far from being like an exotic Eastern doctrine, reincarnation is defined, it's definitely part of the West. And it particularly, if you think about some of the basic Western philosophers who believed in reincarnation, like, and talked about it within their writings, like Socrates, Plato, Pythagoras, others, many of those others, they all talked about reincarnation and believing in it. It's also interesting that it's a belief in Freemasonry, the Rosicrucians, Rastafarians, Scientologists. They all believe in reincarnation. And more importantly, I believe in reincarnation. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, okay? That'll give you some real clarification. So why do I believe in reincarnation? To me, it's an issue of theology. To me, this is my own personal belief system I've had since I was this like this. And that is that God is love. Okay, there is a creator. I've always believed that. And that creator is absolute love, nothing else. Not a shred of anything else other than love. Just that. And nothing beyond. Nothing less, nothing more. That's just what I believe. So if I believe that, and you have a person who lived a big old long life, lived to be 80, 90 years old, and died in their sleep. Lovely. So they had a great life. So can I believe in, how about then I just say, well, then they just go to heaven and they sit on a cloud and that's it forever because they had a, everything was wonderful. But that doesn't always happen, does it? Especially these days with a lot of drugs. Dying younger and younger. Say you got a child who only manages to make it to 10 days old and dies suffering of a disease. Can I connect the belief in a loving, absolutely loving God to having a child die at 10 days old, and that's it. That's all they get. So what if they go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play a harp forever? Is that fair? Is that just? Is that love? Any thoughts?
Mm-hmm. But their young childhood stopped. So they came back and they wanted to redo that to complete their whole life. Whatever. But they don't want to go through living.
Right.
They just want to fix that one part of their soul.
See, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, let's say a person has lived many lives, and for some reason, what they need at this point in their progression is simply to incarnate into a body. Maybe live for a few days. That's all they need, for whatever reason. Well, this is going to be a short one. This will be like the pupil in the eye. Very small piece of the body, but without it, you'd look pretty weird. So, I can connect the belief in a loving God only if there are multiple lifetimes. That's the only way that makes any sense to me. So that's why I believe in it. Now, other people might have other reasons, but that's my own. I can't mesh anything else together and still believe in the God that I believe in, unless there is reincarnation. It's the only thing that makes any sense. Yeah.
Because I believe that God is within everyone and very accessible if I get in the right mind frame. I think that the life that I have now, I can either live that with compatible with what the Creator wants or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there is so much of hope, heaven, and I think heaven is now. Hell is now.
Mm-hmm.
We make our own.
Mm-hmm.
We can make heaven for ourselves in the present or hell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's resurrection. The teacher says, keep doing it till you get it right. Well, that's reincarnation. That's supposed to be a joke. So finally, I don't think either one of them is worth believing in, because there is so much heaven available to your
And that would make, that would be very just for you at nearly 80 years old. But imagine you died at 3 days. So before we go into that, I know I'm running short. So if I'd like to share with you just some things that I experienced. Okay, get away from the heady stuff and not just get into some experience. Some of you I've shared this with, and if I have, don't get too bored. But most of you I've not. And if I share some of these things, if I were you, I would think I was crazy. And you're more than welcome to think I'm crazy. A lot of people do, and I'm perfectly happy with that. So, I never shared any of this stuff until I was into my early 60s. I kept this stuff to myself from my childhood until my 60s. And these things I'm telling you, I'm sharing with you, were not recovered memories. They weren't things that suddenly came to me when I was 40 or 50. These are things that I never stopped remembering. I mean, do you have a memory that has stuck with you since you were 9 years old? I think most of us do. Maybe a house that you lived in, or a room that you lived in, or a pet that you had, or something like that. That memory has been with you since childhood. It's never left you. You've never forgotten it. Okay? Here's a memory that I have. When I was at, we moved away from Lawton, Oklahoma at the end of my third grade. And this memory is a memory from when I was in this room. My sister was almost 8 years older than me. So she was off doing her own things and, you know, dating boys and stuff by that time. And I was pretty much an introvert. So I spent almost all my time in my bedroom with the door shut and just playing in my bedroom. And having, I don't know, had all kinds of little games and stuff like that. But when I was in the early part of this period, I would say first and second grade, I turned into a jaguar, plain as day, crystal clear, not something I remembered much later. I remember this from the time I was a child. And that's why I'm saying you're welcome to think I'm crazy. I have a crystal clear memory of leaping up on the dresser, which I know, remember exactly where it was in that room. And I remember crystal clear having taste of blood in my mouth. Now, those who don't believe in those things will just ignore it and think I'm crazy because it doesn't fit what they choose to believe in. I don't care what you believe in. I know it happened. No question whatsoever. None at all. Now, let's fast forward from that to my mid later 30s. During that time, I was a priest in Colorado. I was living out on this reservation. There's nothing to do out there. So I'd go, they had a movie rental place there, and I'd rent, what do you call them, the VHS? I'd rent those and stick them on my old VHS player at night, and I'd watch them, and everything was just rosy. Until something came on the screen that involved native tribesmen in the Amazon running through the jungle. If I saw some image of that, it freaked me out, and I did not know why. I would have to get up, pull the tape out of the machine, and not watch the rest of the movie. Because it was obviously bringing up some memory that I was not ready to receive. But it blew me away. Okay. Now, let's fast forward to maybe 20 years ago. I've always been absolutely nuts about rainforests. Always crazy about rainforests. Whenever I would travel across, you know, other side of the globe, I'd always go to the areas that had rainforests in them. And I think that's obviously the reason why I moved here from Oklahoma. There's no question in my mind. But at one point about 20 years ago when I was living in Oklahoma, I was having a real rainforest dearth in my life, and I had to go find one. And I found that the closest one was not too far into Mexico. So I hopped in my truck and or car at the no, it's a truck, and drove down into Mexico, and the guys at the border begged me not to go and pulled me into the back room and said, "Don't go, you'll get stopped." And I didn't care. I wanted to go to that jungle. Well, sure enough, I did get stopped by the Zetas, but that was no big deal. It cost me $35. I was okay with that. So I got down to the jungle and had a great time. And on my way out, the museum that had been closed when I was on my way in happened to be open. And I went in there, and they were like, "What are you doing here?" They said, "It's been 3 years since we've seen anybody from the States in this place." And they said, it's all the, you know, cartels are keeping everybody away. And I said, well, it should have kept me away, but it didn't. Well, I got up there about the third floor of that museum, and I had my dog with me. I was looking over. Lo and behold, there's a jaguar walking. Right. And everything in me just went crazy. And I screamed down because I saw a chain behind him. And ultimately, it was a guy that was walking him like a dog. And I says, "Can I go down there and see your jaguar?" He says, "Yeah, but you got to get rid of your dog first or he'll eat it." I said, okay. So I got rid of my dog, went down there. By that time, there was about 5 or 6 Mexican people in a semicircle, just petrified of this jaguar. And they were staying way back like that, but they were also deadly curious. And I was just staring at this thing and inside me, I was going, every gut in my body was jumping up and down. And I was like, I had to go touch that jaguar. And the guy looks at me and he says, "You really want to see this jaguar, don't you?" I said, "I can't stand it." He says, "Well, you can come over." He says, "But I'll tell you, I can't hold him back. It's a fully adult male jaguar." He says, "If he wants to kill you, he will. There's nothing I can do to stop it." And I said, "I don't care. I want to see the jaguar." So I went over and the thing just turned into a kitten. And we were just, I've got pictures of the guy got my camera, and I have pictures of it on my computer at home of me petting this jaguar. You've seen those. Some of you have seen those pictures. Am I making that up? No, I'm not. I'm petting this jaguar. He has my whole hand in his mouth. In one of them. And I was in heaven. And I asked the guy, "How often do you do this?" He said, "You're the first person I have ever let touch the jaguar other than me." And I said, "Why did you let me do this?" He said, "I sensed that the jaguar wanted you to come over." And I said, "Okay." I thought that was amazing. Well, okay. Now I come to SLC and I'm sitting at a table. And for the first time in my life, there was about 3 people at the table and I started spilling these stories. I'd never shared any of this in my life. And this woman I had never seen before and I'd never seen afterward, she looks at me and says, "You don't get it, do you?" That was her exact words. And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You were a jaguar priest in your last life." She said, "Why else would you have been turning into a jaguar when you were a tiny kid and hadn't let go of that memory?" She says, "Why were you terrified when you were seeing those things on TV that you weren't ready to realize that that was you running through the forest jungle in your last life?" And she says, "Why else would that man have let you touch the jaguar, saying that it was the jaguar that wanted you to come over? And saying he'd never let anyone else touch it. So, I believe that was my last life. And I came into it wet behind the ears. I wasn't really, hadn't quite let it go yet. And each one of you has one of those yourself. I believe that I was an exploratory surgeon in a previous life. And the reason I'm certain of it is that I don't have any medical training, zero. And yet I walk into a doctor's office and I know every single one of the terms. I go to the vet. After I'm sitting there a couple of minutes, they just start using all their terminology because they have realized that I understand the words. Where did I learn those words? I have no idea, but I do have a memory in like the 1700s of being a surgeon in a room, exploratory. And then I also have a memory that I desperately wanted to be a surgeon when I was a little kid. I don't know. I'm also think I was a busty barmaid in another life too, but oh well. So, just a glare on that. Is it? Okay. So, I hope that each one of you look back in your own life and try to figure out some things. See who you were. Oh, I would have made a great busty barmaid.
I was thinking that.
Don't you think? In those memories, I wasn't putting up with crap from anybody. But I loved the job. You know, they just, oh well. That's what I remember. Try to figure it out for yourself. It'll make some real sense out of your current life right now. That's all I got to say. Oh, and I also have to say this one thing. I have to be in Atlanta to pick up my great niece, so I am bailing right this minute and letting you guys close up the service yourself. Love y'all.